We are charging 26-year-old Courtney Taylor Clenny with one count of second-degree murder in Christian's death.
I was at work, and the lady said that she's calling to know if I'll give them the permission for Toby to donate his organs. And I'm like, what?
And he said, Daddy, come home. Toby's dead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Crime Room, a true crime podcast about how homicide detectives catch bad guys. I'm Julian Grace.
And I'm Brendan.
On tonight's episode of The Crime Room, If Looks Can Kill, we discuss the OnlyFans model and influencer, Courtney Clenny, killing her boyfriend in a fit of rage. She seemed to have it all early on in life. Beauty, money, millions of fans. Her stardom brought in modeling contracts, invitation to the best parties, and lots of attention from the opposite sex. It seemed Courtney Clenny, who goes by Courtney Taylor online, loved every moment of the fame and its perks. Her seductive posts on Instagram earned her tens of thousands of likes and comments. It was almost like the world had fallen in love with her. But Courtney lost it all. The Once in a Man Insta model found herself sharing a cell with a cellmate, a far cry from the glitzy life she used to know. Her crime? Murder. But is she guilty? We examine all the exclusive details on tonight, If Looks Can Kill. If you like this episode and want to hear more, you can download The Crime Room anywhere you get your podcast from. Visit thecrimeroom.com for exclusive crime news. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It helps The Crime Room grow, so we can continue to bring you new and exciting weekly content. Let's talk crime.
Let's talk crime.
If Looks Can Kill, she was certainly young, attractive. She had it all. Who was she?
So Courtney Clenny, or Courtney Taylor, she was a 25-year-old white blonde female, had over 2 million followers on Instagram, as well as a prominent OnlyFans account. She lived with her boyfriend of 2 years, Christian Abumzali, who was 27 years old, and he goes by Toby. They lived in a luxury apartment in Miami. He has been cited by news sources as a cryptocurrency trader, and both Courtney and Christian were born or originally from Texas.
Before we go on, we should tell to our listeners who maybe are not as active online, what exactly is OnlyFans? Because her name is now synonymous with OnlyFans, and there's still people out there who are like, what is OnlyFans? Is that like Instagram? Not really.
So nothing like Instagram.
Right.
Well, I guess it is a little like Instagram. However, it's basically a service in which a female or male can either...
Users
can put out movies or clips to their fans in a sexual, usually in a sexual nature, in which the fans have to pay for exclusives or either a monthly subscription. So essentially, they have a huge following on Instagram, and you aren't allowed to put these explicit images or videos on Instagram. So many of the models over there have a OnlyFans account, which do allow and actually prefer it, to which that's
encourage
how they...
Encourage it.
Yeah, encourage it. And to which how that's how they make their money.
The more skin you show, the better your tips are.
And another service is the ability to chat with your fans on a one-on-one basis. And presumably, they would pay X amount of money and you would do an act or whatever you guys discussed on camera for them. So let's talk more about the relationship prior to the murder of Christian.
It was shocking because, you know, a lot of couples argue, a lot of couples do things and get into it, but not physical like that.
So mutual friend, and this has been argued both ways depending on who you talk to, but mutual friends have stated that they've seen her hit Christian multiple times and abusive towards him, while other members or friends and associates of them claimed that Christian was the abusive one. So it's hard to determine who was actually the aggressor or the abusive one in the relationship, and it appears that both may have partaken.
From witness accounts, it sounds like they were in a codependent and a highly dysfunctional relationship.
So neighbors of the residents state that there's been a long history of domestic disputes between the two, and often they would have to call the police. And even so, back in 2021 in a hotel, and this is in Las Vegas now, she was arrested on a domestic.
Okay, so prior to the murder, she was arrested in Las Vegas. There is a video circulating online. We have that on our website, thecrimeroom.com. You can head over there for exclusive content, photos, videos, and our podcast.
It's a scene or incident that happened on the elevator of their Miami luxury apartments that happened on 02/21/2022. So just before the murder. Video starts with Courtney entering the elevator. She starts smashing the buttons as if she wants to go upstairs quicker, clearly agitated. He walks in shortly after and kind of approaches her. He's motioning her to stop, to calm down. She then starts pushing him violently. He even grabs the back of the head slash hair and tries to pull him. He's kind of pushing her away, to which she starts throwing punches, continues to push him. The entire time it appears as if Christian is attempting to have Courtney stop, just pushing her away, tries to grab her, almost like a headlock, but more in the sense to stop her from
de-escalate the situation.
Yeah, not to assault her or anything like that. I will, however, say at one point he appears to be like smiling, almost as if he's taunting her, but I don't know if that's just his defense mechanism saying, hey, stop, this is out of hand, or if the video is just a bad angle.
He's much bigger than her, like as far as taller than her.
Yeah, taller, muscular. He definitely, if he wanted to, he can definitely do some damage to her. And as soon as the elevator door leaves, he just takes off and she follows him, continuing to hit him.
Others have mentioned that she was a violent alcoholic.
Yeah, and I do believe
the video supports that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to closer to leading up to the murder. They have separated for a little bit, but on April 1st, Christian moves back in with Courtney. And that's when her mother moves back to Texas so that they can be together. That night, police responded because of an argument. They cleared it with notes, and it appears that, and they stated that it appeared that she was intoxicated. No arrest was taken or anything of the sorts.
So let's pause here briefly, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about domestic situations and how much the police can do when neither party wants to file.
So it is very tricky when neither party wants to file. So absent a third party witness or indicators, let's say there were knife wounds to somebody or some sort of bite mark or something of
injury
that we can say, hey, yeah, no, something happened, where you can corroborate, you know, a story behind it. There's really not much you can do. Even if there's marks on the person, subtle marks, they can claim, oh no, I was rubbing my arm, or I was hitting my forehead, or whatever the case. So in those situations, it's extremely hard to pursue a domestic arrest because you don't have what's called probable cause. You may have reasonable suspicion. And just to give you more insight on that, probable cause is more likely than not. So we'll give it just a percentage, 51% over 49%. Whereas reasonable suspicion is, you know, you have a 30% indication that you do believe it happened, but you can't prove it.
And either party wanted to press charges and the police couldn't separate them, so they left.
That's another situation that's also tricky for police, because there was clearly a argument that ensued, so much that the neighbors called. You go there, neither party wants to cooperate, tell you what happened, and they're typically both stubborn. Neither of them want to leave. It's their house, they don't want to leave, and police can't make them leave. So they can't stay there all day, they can't wait outside the apartment door all day, so they have to leave at some point, And unfortunately, the argument may ensue again or get more violent. Or in this case, it appears that they either went to bed or something else happened because the police weren't called back.
As Christian sort of approached her, she threw the knife at him from a distance that she's estimated to be about 10 feet. The police observed no visible injuries, which would have corroborated her account, and she had no injuries.
So on April 3rd, which is 2 days later, so that huge fight was April 1st. This is April 3rd, and this is all in 2022, if I didn't already mention. So it starts off with, in the morning, they were filming themselves together, what appears to be having a good time. Christian leaves at approximately 1:15 p.m. At 4:01 p.m., Courtney calls Christian, then she goes live on Instagram.
You gotta keep the fans up to date.
Yes, of course. And it's about a 30-minute Instagram, maybe a little less, but at 4:33, she calls Christian again, just after posting the video, and he actually walks into the apartment with sandwiches for both of them. Now, these timelines are very important, the next timeline. So he comes home at 4:33 p.m. Through her phone records, Courtney calls her mother at 4:43 p.m., so 10 minutes later. And that conversation lasts about 6 minutes.
In her telephone statement to the police on the date of the incident, Clenny's mother stated she heard her daughter yelling at Christian. Remember, she's on the phone with her, telling him to leave the apartment. And she heard defendant Clenny saying that Christian was lying.
Up until 4:49. And then at 4:49, she actually calls her mother immediately back and gets off of the phone at 4:56 p.m. 1 minute later, 4:57 p.m., she calls the police and states that there was a situation, it got physical. And in the background, you can actually hear, and the 911 tapes have not been released, this is just what's been reported to everybody, that Christian could be heard saying that he was dying and losing feeling in his arms, while Courtney said, "I'm so sorry, baby."
On that 911 call, Christian can be heard in the background repeatedly saying that he was dying and he was losing feeling in his arm.
So the police exit at 4:57, extremely quick response, and they go up there and they see that he had a knife wound to the shoulder area.
Mm-hmm.
So just let's kind of go over those time frames because it's very important.
Everything happens. Is developing quickly, rapidly.
Yeah, so between, and actually another little detail here, the mother claims that when she was on the phone with her daughter, Courtney could be heard telling Christian to leave, but leave. And these time frames indicate that the murder happened between 4:33 p.m. and 4:57 p.m. And she was on the phone for the majority of that time.
With her mom.
With her mother. And although I don't know exactly what happened, I do believe that the assault happened between 4:33 and 4:43 p.m. She freaked out. She didn't know what to do. She called her mother. The phone call lasted 6 minutes. The mother was probably advising her, "Hey, call the police. You gotta do this." She hangs up. She calls her mother right back. She has reservations. "Hey, you sure I should call the police? It's gonna look bad for me. I'm going to jail." And the mother says, "No, if you don't do it, it may look worse." And then she calls the police after a minute or so where she can gather her thoughts. And again, that's just my opinion at this time. There is no proof to determine that's the exact time frame in which it happened, but that is my opinion.
So the police arrives on scene. They find Christian. He's on the ground. There's a lot of blood. Courtney seems incoherent. She seems drunk. There's blood on her pants. And she's handcuffed.
Yeah, there's a video that was by TMZ of her. It's through an apartment across the way. Just a picture, a video of her sitting down with blood all over her pants in a black sports bra with handcuffed, speaking with police.
Mm-hmm.
So he was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. She was taken to custody to be detained and interviewed. She actually stated that she wanted to kill herself. And what that means is that the police have an obligation to take that individual, or Courtney in this instance, to the hospital to get medically treated before further questioning them.
So they're going to check her mental health.
Right. And this is important because if they don't check her mental health, she can later claim that she wasn't in the right state of mind to speak to the police.
Okay.
Anyway, she's at the hospital. The psychiatrist believed that she needed further mental health treatment. And because of that, she was evaluated under what Florida calls the Baker Act, which means she was committed for 72 hours.
And held for observation.
And held for observation. She was not charged at this time.
That's interesting.
Yes.
They're not charging her right away.
So she wasn't charged or arrested until August 10th, where she was in Hawaii and she was extradited back to the county.
So I think two things happen between her being released from the psych ward and her arrest that the cops did. They found that video that we have been mentioning of her hitting him, being violent towards him.
Right.
Which establish pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, in her statement to the police, she told them she stabbed her boyfriend in self-defense. She said to them that she threw the knife at Christian from 10 feet away.
Right. So her actual whole story was that Christian pushed her against the wall by the neck, but was not choking her, threw her to the ground, but then allowed her to get up, to which she grabbed a kitchen knife, and when he began approaching her, she threw it at him approximately 10 feet away.
So prosecutors have said that his injury was so severe that the knife couldn't have been thrown.
Right.
She had to thrust it in him.
Right. So the medical examiner actually said that as well. When a medical examiner says something of this sort, usually there's no leeway. They stated that it was completely untrue that she threw the knife from 10 feet away because she had to have been standing directly in front of him because of how you mentioned the injury, how deep it was. I'm not saying it's impossible to throw a knife or a kitchen knife at that from 10 feet away and hit somebody in the heart artery area and kill them, but very unlikely. If you're not trained in throwing knives or practice or beyond complete luck, it's pretty much impossible. So her story doesn't really make sense. And again, there is a chance that it happened. However, we do not feel as though it actually did occur that way. Tell us in the comments what you guys feel about this. If you think that, you know, maybe you have more insights on throw knives than we do, maybe it is more possible at the 10 feet range or foot range. I just feel as though even if the knife was thrown, he would attempt to deflect it. There would be wounds on his arms.
Like he'll put his arm up in front of his body to protect himself, to protect the heart. Yeah, I don't think it happened the way she said it happened. Prosecutors and police absolutely don't believe her. They believe that she was the aggressor and she was the abuser. And even though she's petite and he is tall, big, muscular, I think she controlled that relationship.
Right.
And he just went along with her for whatever reason. His family said that he was just a gentle person, not a care in the world. He was always there to help other people, always down for a good time. Some people have speculated that he was cheating on her, and that drove her to have these deep mistrust issues towards him. And obviously they both like to drink and party, so I'm sure that added fuel to the fire. But again, throwing a knife at 10 feet away and lodging in his heart, I just don't believe that.
Yeah,
not looking good for her.
My first instinct when I put myself through that scene is I'm ducking or something. It might hit me. It may cause damage or injury, but it's, you're going to protect the heart, as you said, the first thing you're going to do.
The defense, her defense attorneys are going to have a very hard time selling the self-defense story to the jury. Another thing is, she runs off to Hawaii after she's not charged, supposedly for treatment, PTSD, and substance abuse issues. And then the moment she's released, hits up the bars over there.
And then she goes to Hawaii and she has the treatment, which I do believe is more her talking to her attorney and the attorney saying, "Hey, you have to get in front of this. This is what you need to do. It looks better."
So she is then extradited back to Florida. The judge refuses to grant her bond, and she remains behind bars.
Right, and she was actually charged with second degree murder. And her lawyer claimed that there wasn't enough evidence for murder and quote unquote at best manslaughter. And what the difference is murder, second degree murder, typically has some sort of forethought or intention of harming the other person, as opposed to manslaughter is when you're doing something so recklessly or malicious and you accidentally caused damage or injury, in this case, murdered him. So manslaughter, if she was throwing knives because she was intoxicated all over the apartment, one hit him accidentally, that would be more in line with manslaughter.
But that's also a difference in sentencing. One can be 25 to life, and another one can be under 5, and you're out.
Yeah, manslaughter typically, because it's there's different situations. You can be driving a car sober and appropriately and somebody walks in front of you out of behind a car and technically maybe you looked at your phone or something. That's a little different than throwing knives out a window or at a party and stabbing somebody. They're both could be construed or charged under the crime of manslaughter. So that's why there's a disparity of punishments.
Courtney's defense attorney asked the judge to limit the amount of evidence because her case has gained such a national attention, and he fears that she will be tried in the public's court and not in front of a judge and in front of her peers. Apparently, the prosecutors and police have gathered thousands of photos and videos from her social media, and they have over 12,000 text messages between Courtney and her now deceased ex-boyfriend. The judge denied the defense attorney's request, and so we know for sure that the video, which is so damning to her and goes against her claim that she killed a Christian in self-defense, will be allowed to be presented during the court case.
I do believe that if nothing changes, if it's not further suppressed down the road, that as you mentioned, that's some very important evidence the prosecutors now have. It does show her repeatedly attacking him with him not doing anything. And again, we weren't there behind the scenes. We don't know what happened behind closed doors, but from that video, he had no intentions of harming her. He just wanted to leave the area and get away from the situation. So we'll update you guys on our website, thecrimeroom.com.
Her trial will begin on December 19th. Her Instagram page is still active, though Courtney Clenny has not posted since early this year. It sits there, waiting for the model to return. When? That's entirely a different question. Courtney's fate is in the hands of 12 jurors. Will they believe she threw a knife, accidentally hitting her boyfriend and killing him? Thanks for listening to The Crime Room and tonight's episode, If Looks Can Kill. Till the next time.